It's bad. Anime.
I just pressed the record button, so by nature of laws of stuff, I am ready.
I also just pressed the record button, which means that my name is John.
And my name's Rob.
And this is Bad Anime, the show where today we're justifying talking about wrestling.
Bingo!
Yeah!
There we go. Well, there's actually a lot of precedent here because we used to, back when we were doing like special episodes like once a month or whenever we felt like it, Japanese wrestling in general was always a big topic we talked about because we like to talk about that a lot of, outside weeb culture.
Oh, yeah, of course. Like, you know, we've touched on Japanese music. We've touched on Japanese wrestling. So pretty much anything in this sphere is A-okay for us. And we figured we'd kind of bring an episode back up about wrestling this time and make it like a main episode to really talk about it.
And to really highlight the point, because we're at the time right now where we are officially three episodes or more per show, like into the winter season.
Yes.
The winter season has officially started. This is where people will be making a lot of decisions of what they're going to be doing for the rest of the season.
Right.
In New Japan Pro Wrestling, currently by far and away the number one Japanese wrestling promotion, they also have seasons or arcs, if you will. And right now, we're entering basically the first arc of the year, where the previous year's storylines ends and this year's storylines begin. And for those of you who don't know, wrestling is anime. Or the reverse, anime is just Japanese wrestling. And yeah, it's been going on since the 50s.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of similarities between the two mediums, and we've talked about that ad nauseum before, even including to talk about...
And we'll do it again!
Yeah, and we will do it again, even including some shows that were inspired by wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of them have been, but shows that are a direct product of wrestling have also been very, very popular.
Oh, exactly, because the mediums really go hand in hand. I've said it on previous episodes, but at one point, the most highly rated Japanese program of all time was Rikki Dozan versus, I think it was Masked Wrestler 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was Tokyo. I don't remember what city it was in. Actually, it might have been Osaka. I don't know. Both are huge wrestling towns.
Yeah.
But that being said, every January 4th, this event happens in the Tokyo Dome. Yes, everybody. They do it on a specific date.
Which is very interesting, and I didn't know that.
It's so cool.
I didn't know that until this year when I was like, oh, Wrestle Kingdom, January 4th. But it's probably not January 4th, but it's like the weekend. But that's the date I usually know it as. But then I realized, I was like, oh, wait, it's on like a Friday.
They just do it
on that day. They just book the Tokyo Dome one day a year for that day.
Yeah, every single year they just book it, and some years were amazingly attended, some of them were not. This one, based on my volume, seems like it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, this was the this is also the 18th Wrestle Kingdom show.
18th Wrestle Kingdom with Bouncy. This is where it was one of those weird things kick in, where there was events before it that weren't called Wrestle Kingdom.
I'm sure.
So the first Wrestle Kingdom officially was 2007,
mm-hmm.
but the January 4th Tokyo Dome show has been going back since 92.
Wow. Okay, so they just branded it as Wrestle Kingdom starting in 07.
Yeah, and there was a bunch of other names before then. Some of them were staples, like Wrestling World was a name for a while, but then there was like Final Power.
Final
Power Hall in Tokyo Dome.
Final Power Hall.
The fourth one was called Battle 7.
Battle 7? What is this, a Yu-Gi-Oh season?
But like, why the fourth one?
What? But why would you call it 7?
I'm so fascinated by this.
Oh,
one of them is just called Battlefield.
Battlefield. Okay,
okay,
well, that makes more sense.
All right, fantastic story in Tokyo Dome. That's pretty cool.
Fantastic. Wow, what a great story in Tokyo Dome. So you see a very similar trend with naming conventions from wrestling shows to animes, essentially.
Oh yeah, and you could just make a more overarching statement about Japanese pop culture as well, because I think about some tokusatsu series I've seen. You know, you have one of them is a... There's definitely one of them that's 7, and now I'm forgetting which one. Oh, Ultraman 7.
Durr. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the big one. And you have Rainbow Man, who just has 7 forms, much like Cutie Honey, randomly enough.
Huh.
Yeah, now I just want to watch Battle 7 with the boys and, like, be, like, degenerate. Anyway, so yeah, this is basically where all, like, the all the big stuff gets resolved. If you guys remember way back, we talked about the G1 Climax in depth one episode a while ago.
Yes, we did. We did.
And basically, that's the huge tournament that happens every summer.
Which is exactly the same as any of your favorite anime tournament arcs, essentially.
But better.
But better, because it's a round-robin multi-block tournament, which is our favorite event of the year.
It's a month long. It's a month long of great wrestling, usually like 20-plus shows, and you get amazing match after amazing match, some goofy shit in there, too, just to spice things up. It's a ton of fun.
You do.
And that's one of the many arcs you have in a year for New Japan. But it's even though it's the summer, it's almost like the highlight of their year because the following January. So let's see, August it ends. So that's a solid, what, like 5 months later?
Yeah, it's quite a
like
while
later. Five or six months later. Yeah, 6 months later. Or yeah, six months later. I don't know off the top of my head. You get the payoff because that person wins a contract to face the world champion at the Tokyo Dome.
Right.
The kicker is the guy who won the Climax has to defend that contract like two or three times on average.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even guaranteed. 1 year guy lost it and we were all pissed.
Yeah, that was really funny. But like, also, I mean, there is a fun stipulation in which like if you, mm-hmm. you a lot of the time the IWGP World Champion enters the G1 Climax.
Yes, he's in the tournament every year.
And if they win it, they get to pick their opponent.
They get
correct?
To name their own opponent, yeah.
Yeah, for Wrestle Kingdom, which is, of course, like the main event of the biggest show of the year. Everybody wants to be in that spot.
Yes.
And, yeah, we watch the G1 every year, and the G1 was won in August of 2023 by Tetsuya Naito.
Yes, it was.
Who would keep the contract, thankfully, all the way to Wrestle Kingdom, and in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 18, would fight Sanada.
Would fight Sanada, who was actually for a long time in the same stable, same team. Because in New Japan Pro Wrestling, how it works, guys, it's a... You're divided up into various factions with a number of other guys. For example, this faction was originally called Los Ingobernables de Japón. Yes, that's a thing. Because the founder Tetsuya Naito went to Mexico for a while, and people would make fun of him in Mexico by opening their eyes really wide.
Yep.
Because, you know, racism is still okay in some parts of the world, apparently.
Crazy. Yeah.
Because if we did that here once, we're immediately canceled.
Oh, yeah. But then he took that and ran with it, and now it's
kind of his
gimmick.
He took that and started doing it to his opponents.
To, like, open his own eye.
Yeah, like, and he would say, obre los ojos at them.
And which is crazy.
So he became the most popular guy, in Japan, legitimately the most popular Japanese wrestler, you know, over there. And Sanada was one of the many guys in his stable. And then Sanada just said, yo, I'm out. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, no, I'm out. There's this brand new group just called, that's literally called Just Four Guys. But now it's five guys.
But now it's just five guys, and Sanada is in that stable.
They changed the logo and everything.
It's amazing. I hope they just keep going. I just want them to be like eventually just nine guys.
Not just
nine
guys. That's a too many guys.
That is also a porn site, definitely.
Oh my God, and it's one that keeps me happy and warm? I don't
Boy,
know.
Boy, is it ever.
Before we get to the main event, yes. I just kind of want to run down this card right
yeah,
here.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get
because
down to the whole card.
Because this card is a very good introduction to people for New Japan Pro Wrestling and the storylines that have been happening all year.
Yeah, agreed. And it was a great introduction for people like me, too, that don't necessarily keep up with every pay-per-view or every product that comes
every
out.
Every tour, yeah.
But I do watch the G1. I do watch as much of it as I can. I do watch Wrestle Kingdom. Those are probably the two main kind of events that I'm tuned into. That and maybe Dominion when they go to Osaka Joe Hall in the summertime in June. Probably those are probably my main times that I'm most invested in New Japan. But so these preliminary matches, a lot of the matches that they did were really good at kind of telling you the story of every single match. And they all had promos. They all had vignettes. They all felt important.
Yeah, a single one felt like a waste.
Yeah, which is great. Even the opening match, which was like just a big kind of battle royal situation.
Yeah, the first match was honestly a lot of fun. It was a half hour long because it was a Royal Rumble setup. And for those who have no idea about wrestling, basically two guys start every... Anywhere between 45 to 90 seconds later, a new guy comes out.
Yep.
You can eliminate in this match. You can either pin them, submit them, or throw them over the top rope.
Right.
Any one of those results will eliminate a guy from the match.
And in this one, apparently the last four people just win.
Well, it's crazy because they have New Japan has this one title. It's a yearly title. So how it works is it's called the King of Pro Wrestling Championship.
Yes.
So every year there's a new King of Pro Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's essentially a gimmick title where every single match, it's two wrestlers. They each say, I want to face you in this type of match. And the other guy says, I want to face you in this type of match. Then the fans vote on which one they want to see. So, but every year, basically, the champion at the end of the year vacates the belt.
Right, yes. So it what must start anew.
So it starts a new year. What happens is the guy defends the belt throughout the year. And if a guy, if he gets beaten, the guy holding the belt at the time is known as the provisional champion. So whoever, it only matters who has the belt at the end of the year. That guy's declared the king of pro wrestling for the year.
Wow.
And this is on the pre-show. So that's something. So basically, yeah. So what happens is you have four guys facing each other. And then the next night, the four guys face off in a fatal four-way match to decide the new champion.
Mm-hmm.
So we had four winners here. Great Okan, who is the folklore-inspired wrestler. Taiji Ishimori, who is 5'2", but legitimately one of the most terrifying men I've ever seen.
It's fucking scary. It looks like he could eat me.
Yeah, no, he's just completely jacked to the gills. So he's like super-duper-duper buff, but with a ton of agility because the size he is. So he'll just like run around, but be completely ripped, and then he'll suplex you, and then you'll say, ow. And then he'll say, I'm not done with you yet. And I don't want to say what happens next because, you know, I don't have 45 minutes in baby oil.
45 minutes of baby oil.
It's a long time.
And the other two winners were Toriano, who is naturally the biggest, like, essentially comedy wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, he likes to hide, like, tape all over his person, and then he'll, like, throw people outside of rings and then, like, tape them to shit so they can't get back in the ring.
It's so funny.
He wins by count out. It's hysterical. Happens all the time.
Oh, it's great. And also, Yo.
Yo! I love Yo.
Who's the half of previous tag team Sho and Yo.
Yes.
But,
Roppongi 3K was their name.
Yes, Roppongi 3K. And Yo, so all those people won.
Yes.
And that first match.
Yes, and then the next night, to go a little further in the story, Taiji Ishimori walked away with the King of Pro Wrestling Championship.
Yes. So,
which was really
pretty cool. Pretty cool.
No, that's how the match started. Again, 35 minutes of just chaos. A bunch of guys came back who've been away for a while. One of my favorite wrestlers in New Japan, Taichi, came out and he got a huge ovation.
Yes.
I don't know if he actually did. I just started screaming Taichi when he came out.
He got a huge ovation in the room that we were in.
In the room that we were in.
Yes.
But the next match, I didn't think would get any ovation from us, but it was a shocker sleeper hit. The team of Catch 2-2, who I thought would be my least favorite team in history, because it was Francisco Akira versus a cat named TJP.
I have spent
many years talking about how much I hate watching TJP wrestle. Several years.
He's been very boring for a very long time.
Well, that's the thing, which is such a shame, because he's obviously a tremendous athlete, so he does a lot of cool shit in the ring,
mm-hmm.
but his facial expressions are always dog shit.
Yeah, they're always dumb, which actually was very nice in this match, because this was
the
match that
he
debuted a new gimmick, and it was him wearing a mask, like a very, very terrifying mask that looks like an old, like monster from Filipino folklore.
Yeah.
So honestly, it was fantastic. He was great at being the character, and he didn't have any facial expressions because it was all under the mask. And damn, it looked great, and they won.
Yeah, and he wrestled the match like a kind of remember your praise for Kamen Rider Black when like all the guys were good at being spiders.
Yes.
It's the same exact thing here, where he was just good at being a creepy monster man.
It just worked perfectly for him for some reason.
But we have to mention who they versed, because they faced the team who at that point was holding the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team belts. It was Clark Connors and a man named Drilla Maloney.
God, the coolest name ever. Let me repeat that.
Drilla Maloney. You're welcome, humanity.
Who named that guy? You deserve an award.
I think he did it himself. If we click on his name, it's probably going to be Dan. But anyway, so the two of them.
Name is Dan.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
Dan Maloney.
Daniel Joseph Maloney. We just killed his gimmick dead. That's hysterical. But here's the thing, right? Basically, him and Clark Connors came out as like sort of. Naked cowboys.
Yes,
like, they had the white trunks, and Clark Connors had a huge cowboy hat on, and like they're dressed all in white, and they even like made the tag team belts white.
When yeah, it was like pretty funny. It was a big, like, I don't know if they were, like, directly doing this, but it looked like a play on the Naked Cowboy in Times Square. It looked
totally, yeah, hilarious. I don't know if they were trying to do it, but it definitely looked like it, so that was pretty funny.
Oh, yeah, it was pretty great.
But, you know, it was a short match, under 10 minutes, and I thought it was just cool. It was way more than I was expecting. I thought it was going to be a complete bore and a snooze.
Yeah, and it ended up being one of my favorite matches that we saw that night, actually.
Yeah, because the longstanding criticism that the junior heavyweight tag division in New Japan does not matter.
Yeah.
But it was better than a lot of the other matches on the card, so I got to give it props there. And now I'm actually excited to see where the hell this whole division goes.
Yeah, I wonder like what challengers are going to step up, if not have stepped up already. Also, the IWGP tag team division is also kind of in a similar rut. Or was in a similar rut of just being a little
kind of is
boring all the time.
Yeah, no, they've been trying hard to inject some life in that tag division for a couple of years now. But unfortunately, at the moment, just nothing's sticking.
Yeah, yeah, nothing at all.
They import guys every once in a while, but it's just not working for them, and I feel so bad.
It's tough. Their singles division is clearly unmatched. It is much better.
And speaking of like the third match on the card, we get Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yes.
That main event's pay-per-views, not third match on the card.
It does. And you know, I thought they did something interesting here because I notice on most New Japan shows that they tend to just do it like a WWE show or an AEW show is like they start with straight heat. They like maybe like sprinkle in some like snoozers. They have like some straight heat throughout. And then the end is like a big blow-off main event match, right?
Yes.
The New Japan events, I see more than often them starting with the sleeper matches and then building up, and then every match is a little better than the last or a little more important than the last until it ends on like the highest peak that it can end. It's just a straight shot up the entire
time. Yeah, it's more like a meritocracy. Like, you guys deserve to go on later in the show.
Right. So I was surprised when I saw this on third.
On super early. It's like, okay, Tanahashi, who is the new president of the company now.
Yeah.
So...
And right, and the match, right, correct me if I'm mistaken, but was for the New Japan Pro Wrestling World Television Championship, right?
Yeah, they have the television belt now. It's named after their streaming service, New Japan World.
Yes.
The gimmick with this belt is, where all other New Japan belts have a 60-minute time limit, this belt has a 15-minute time limit.
Fun.
So the match has to be a much quicker pace than that.
Yeah.
Which is... It helps a lot of wrestlers out, especially over there where New Japan matches can run a little long.
Mm-hmm.
This gives guys a great opportunity to be like, hey, let's just have a fast, fun, fuck you in your face matchup.
Just a quick one, which is a great title for Zack Sabre Jr. to hold.
But until he lost it to Tanahashi.
To Tanahashi, who's also the new president of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right. And so he immediately put a mid-card belt on himself for no reason.
I think it's honestly just because nobody thought he would.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, you motherfuckers thought that I wouldn't do this, but you're wrong. Do it. I'm Hiroshi Tanahashi.
He's just trolling people.
Don't forget it.
But that does free up Zacky Boy to go on in bigger and better things. The next arc following this one and the completion of the New Beginning Tour is always New Japan Cup, which comes up in March. Zack Sabre Jr. is a two-time winner. If he wins again, he'll get another shot at the big belt, the IWGP World Belt, which I think he might actually have a shot at winning.
He's never won it before.
Never have, and then right now they're kind of it's weird. They have a lot of foreign stars, but not a lot of foreign stars who actually signed with them. You got some foreign stars, especially later in the show, you'll see, of guys who just show up from other companies. So they kind of need that homegrown foreign star, which is weird enough to say. But I think Zacky Boy has the chance there. If you want to listen about my opinions on Zack Sabre Jr. further, go back to a couple of years now and you'll find some bonus episodes floating around the ether where I mentioned the cat a lot. I used to hate him. Now I love him. Now I think he's kind of lame, but I still love him. So
I have always hated him and will always hate him. Or just always mostly think he's a dork. Like that's my main thing. He's just kind of a dork.
He's definitely a dork.
He looks like a twig. He like even against Hiroshi Tanahashi, he just looks so small. Hiroshi Tanahashi is buff. He looks good. God damn it.
Well, speaking of buff boys being, well, at least one buff boy buff, and one
guy
with
mouth,
one guy with the creepiest smile I've ever seen.
Huge mouth.
It's just so much teeth.
God.
We had two up and comers, two newer stars in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yes.
Yuya Urimura, one of the five guys we mentioned previously, and Yota Tsuji, a member of Naito's stable, LIJ. So we have two guys who have individual stories, but also stories relating to the main event, which is nice, thorough aligning, nice,
yeah,
some nice plot development there. When we started this match, we went, or at least I remember going, hey, when did like Yuya Urimura get like hot?
Yeah, no, he did like the whole New Japan face thing where he dyed his hair blonde and he just wore like really colorful clothing and he just came out wearing all that stuff. And we were like, oh, I thought he, last time I saw him, he just had black trunks on and was just a normal dude. And now he's a New Japan babyface. Interesting.
Well, exactly. Well, yeah, interesting. Basically, when everyone comes back, they call it like from excursion where they go wrestle somewhere else in a different country for a couple of years. They all just come back with longer hair and hotter. It's
Yeah, it's like the default. It's the default. Like, I hope he, you know, he did win this match. He did beat Yoda Tsuji because Yoda Tsuji can't win a match to save his fucking life. But
I don't know what they keep doing with Yoda.
I have no idea.
They keep like giving him big spots on.
Dude, they keep hyping him up so hard too.
But they keep having him lose,
and he loses all the time. Like, what is his thing? Gato's kind of weird with this.
Gato's a little weird with this. Yeah, right now I have no faith in Yoda whatsoever.
Yeah,
sorry, Yoda.
No, I don't either. Not Yuta either. Yuta Wheeler. God, I hate that guy.
I like Yuta.
But Yuya Uemura defeated Yoda Tsuji, and that's the thing. Like, I really hope Yuya gains some kind of personality, because I think that's the problem with a lot of these New Japan babyfaces that they're trying to push, is that they come out and they have the glitz, the glam, kind of like what Naito did before he got relegated not fighting in the main event with Okada at a Wrestle Kingdom. Because nobody saw the personality in him because he didn't have a chance to show it, because they were just like, here, you're Tanahashi, basically.
Exactly.
So I hope that he finds some sort of personality or some sort of actual gimmick instead of just being, oh, he's New Japan babyface guy.
Yeah, exactly. I'm colorful, fun wrestler.
Right, exactly.
So you have a great point there. Action-wise, I thought the match was really good. Yuya did look strong. Yoda, they got to find out what the fuck they're doing with him.
I have no idea what they're
doing
with this guy.
Because two of the other new guys they have going on, they're giving a little bit more personality. Ren Narita, with the biggest betrayal of all time. The most hated faction in Japan is now a bunch of cats called House of Torture.
Yes.
Let me say that name again. House of Torture. I will pause for a dramatic effect.
So stupid.
And now I'll move on. Hey, hey.
Hey.
Are you saying you're not intimidated by evil?
Evil. Oh,
he's,
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, the wrestler's name is legitimately Evil.
Yes, it is.
He used to be part of Tetsuya Naito's stable, L.I.J., Los Ingobernables, as I said earlier. In a great betrayal sequence, he betrayed the faction, and everyone in the world's like, how could he have done this? And we all were like, wow, are you saying Evil was evil?
I can't believe it.
But yeah, then he betrayed Naito, won the belt for a bit. They traded it back and forth for a little while. And everyone said, wow, maybe Evil wasn't ready.
And so here's he was either. And so this is what he's doing now. He's in a tag team match with Ren Narita facing Shota Umino and Kaito Kiyomura.
Kaito Kiyomura, who's actually the biggest star of one of the bigger stars of Pro Wrestling Noah, a smaller company that New Japan has had a very weird on-off working relationship with for a while.
Yeah.
And for a while, they loved him, and they actually sent down one of their, like, I mentioned those factions. They sent down one of their factions, like, hey, go to Noah for a little bit. They're, like, dying. So that faction just won all the belts.
Yeah.
And then once New Japan got pissed at Noah, they said, all right, you all coming back now. Drop the belts. Leave.
And that seems like what they're doing with House of Torture here, because House of Torture came out and did some like weird Noah stuff where they like ripped a Pro Wrestling Noah shirt.
They cut up a Pro Wrestling Noah shirt.
Yeah.
I thought they were going that way, but
I guess they didn't, right?
Well, based on events that happened 2 days ago, I'm less likely to believe it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll touch on those in a bit, because it actually is relevant to a match or two later.
So House of Torture won that. It was a fine match. I think, like, the thing is...
Elimination out the ass, because that's all House of Torture matches are. It's just, like, Show, not Yo, who mentioned earlier.
Show.
And
he's Dick Togo.
Those guys. Show has a wrench. Dick Togo has a 1940s-style garrote wire. Like, you're just trying to murder people?
It's so silly.
Yeah, so it's very dumb and silly and fun. But yeah, they just keep hitting each other with all these foreign objects, and then they just win matches that way.
But instead of foreign objects, the next match was actually just dudes hitting dudes with their bare hands really hard.
Yeah, this might have been my favorite match of the night, just because it was just hard, 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 raw, 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 you're bleeding, cool.
Yeah, slapping meat. Men slapping their meat with Tama Tonga versus Shingo Takagi. And that's for the Never Openweight Championship, which is probably I our favorite or one of our favorite championships in the entire business of wrestling, because every match is like this.
Every match is just big guys beating the fuck out of each other.
Slapping each other really hard.
And just like
clotheslines.
It's all big strikes and big power moves. You're not going to see any flips, very little shit outside the ring.
Yep. Yeah,
you'll see one or two dives, and I'm like, Shingo, why are you diving out of the ring?
Yeah, I mean, he's the fucking boy. I love Shingo Takagi, that barrel-chested boy. He fought Tama Tonga. He put up a good fight. Tama Tonga won, which is weird, considering that now, as we know, Tama Tonga is not in New Japan anymore.
Well, actually, this relates back to what I said earlier, because my theory originally, which looked like it was being supported by House of Torture cutting up the Noah shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I thought New Japan was pulling a what they did in like 2016 or 15 when they sent a full faction, Suzuki-gun at the time, down there. I thought, oh, they're going to send House of Torture down there and they're just going to run rush on the company, win all the belts, only for all the Noah guys to beat the shit out of them for some great ticket sales.
Right.
That's what I thought was going to happen. And it still might, but if they did, they're going to take a little bit of a risk here, because what happened just 16 days later, Tama Tonga defended the Never Belt against Evil. And Evil won.
Yeah.
And Tama Tonga gave his very heartfelt goodbye to New Japan Pro Wrestling because he decided not to renew his contract.
Right.
So that's one of many New Japan guys who are about to exit the company.
And we will get to the biggest one very soon.
Exactly. So the match was great between Tama and Shingo, obviously. I guess my question now, with Evil as the Never Champ, what do you do with it? I mean, you could theoretically send them all down to Noah still, but just also sending down a belt with them, which they could do. It would make sense of it for any other, like an IWGP belt, which is like New Japan's main system of belts. It might be a little weird. So sending down the Never belt would make a little sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like Evil defend it around there. One of the Noah guys wins it, you know, carries it for like a little bit. So still possible they can do that. But it might have just been a one-shot to disrespect Kaito like that. But
yeah,
it'd be cool to see them down there for a little bit.
Yeah, it would be.
Okay, so now two belts that don't matter. The IWGP tag belts and the Strong openweight tag belts. Oh, okay, God. Now we have to fucking explain what Strong is.
Oh, my God. I don't want to. It's the New Japan. It's the New Japan satellite
American promotion.
And it's based in California.
It was, but they don't even run weekly anymore because they used to run every week.
Right, that's right.
And now they don't. So they just have all these belts floating around, like these three Strong belts floating around that don't really matter. So it was a winner-take-all match between the IWGP champs and the Strong champs.
Yeah.
The IWGP champs just beat the Strong champs, funny enough, at the end of what's called the World Tag League, the big New Japan Tag Tournament every year. So the champs, Bishimon, they beat the other two guys, Hikaleo and El Fantasmo.
Mm-hmm.
They beat them, and they're like, cool, we won the tournament's wild champion, sick. But then they looked at them and said, hey, we beat you, but we also want those Strong tag team belts, so you're wrestling us at the Tokyo Dome. And the other team said, okay. So then ELP and Hikaleo just kind of won?
Yeah, and now they have both?
Now they have both belts.
And that means nothing.
They're defending both sets of belts against random guys.
Yeah.
All the time. Moving on.
Moving on. The next. Oh, yeah. This next match is the one that I got spoiled for, so I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it either.
But it was El Desperado versus Hiromu Takahashi. El Desperado picked up the W, though.
Which is great, but the problem is we keep saying this fucking match over and over again.
Yeah. The junior heavyweight division hasn't really picked up a lot in a while.
Well, actually, it has picked up because I watched Best of the Super Juniors last year, and there's some amazing stuff in there.
Oh, that tournament's always a blast, too.
But the problem is, it's the same two or three guys winning all the time.
Yeah, they're all at the top, right.
Yeah, it's all Hiromu and El Desperado.
Well, Mustafa Ali is coming in to New Japan to fight Hiromu soon.
I believe that's on an American show, but he might eventually get over to Japan.
Yeah, he could.
Actually, that has a lot to do with the next match, because we have at least one former WWE guy and a different one making his debut at the end of the match.
Yes.
So we'll go on to there right now. This is for a new belt.
Oh, God. So many belts.
I feel so sorry for anyone who's actually listened this far and doesn't know a thing about wrestling. It's like, why do they keep mentioning random belts?
There are so many championships. And yes, it's a problem. It's a big problem.
It's getting ridiculous in New Japan right now because the roster is not big enough to support this number of belts.
No.
But basically what happened was they had a belt that was originally the IWGP United States belt. Then eventually Will Ospreay won the belt, who is a fella from England. So he recustomized the belt as the UK belt. He was it was him and former champion John Moxley in this match. Before David Finlay, son of a legendary WWE wrestler, Fit Finlay, he destroyed both belts, and the New Japan said, "Fuck it, it's not a US, it's not UK anymore, it's a global belt," and they redesigned it, and it doesn't look nearly as good.
I will make the same argument that was made when TNA back in like 2011 had a championship called the TNA Global Championship.
Yes.
Isn't that just the same thing as the World Championship?
Exactly.
Right? Yes. What is different about this? Although the name is silly, I understand the merging of the belts. I get that whole thing, right? I understand them like making a new one, fine. But they also previously before that, which is I thought where you're going to go back to, they had the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, which they just got rid of, or they combined with the World Championship.
Yeah, they merged up with the World Belt.
World Belt design. If they just kept that belt, they would not have to do all this dumb bullshit that they've had to do over the past like 4 years.
Well, that's the thing. Now it's a bunch of like recycling and rehashing storylines.
And it's got a white strap just like the old Intercontinental belt. It's the same thing.
Yeah, they basically just merged the U.S. and Intercontinental, which is what they probably should have done in the first place.
It just makes no sense.
Because the Intercontinental belt had the exact same mission statement as the U.S. belt.
Mm-hmm.
I remember people asked Naito about it in interviews, like, what do you think about the new U.S. belts? Like, didn't we do this like 5 years ago? And everyone's like, what?
It's like, guys, it's the same.
It's the same concept here. And then
literally the same belt.
But the thing is, we had this American Satellite promotion, like we said, New Japan Strong. But then they came out with their own belt, the New Japan Strong belt. So it's like, why isn't the United States belt the top prize on your United States television program?
Because they don't like it when you mix dollars and cents.
Exactly.
They do not like it. But either way, this was a really fun match anyways.
It was a great three-way. You had John Moxley in there, who was a deathmatch specialist.
Yep.
He just likes to hit people for real and bleed a lot, like everywhere. All the time.
He will
slice his forehead open if you sneeze at him.
He will. And he will do it himself.
Yes. And so he can bleed everywhere. You have Will Ospreay, who is supremely popular over there. Like, they were chanting his name fairly loudly, especially for a Japanese crowd who are known to be more reserved and respectful.
Definitely.
They were chanting and screaming.
They love him. But you know who nobody loved? David Finlay. Not just because he's a heel, but also because just nobody likes the guy.
No, well, especially in the Western audience, I've heard mixed reviews from Japanese fans. We all see him as a cheap imitation of several other leaders of Bullet Club to come before him. He's a leader of the Bullet Club faction.
Jay White, Kenny Omega, AJ Styles, Finn Balor. Yeah, everybody.
Yeah, he's a cheap. He's seen by many the cheap knockoff of all those cats.
Yeah.
And I'm hard pressed to argue with that,
because
that's really what it feels like. It would help, though, because right now he's doing a little too much of the quiet, like, I'm cool type thing, which isn't really interesting, especially because before this, he was a bright and colorful, you know, heart of fire type guy. So in contrast, this feels more contrived. If this is more like his actual personality, I get it, but it's not coming across on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could be, like, super cool outside of this podcast and just, like, do all sorts of, like, wild party stuff with my bum, but if you listen to this pod, you'll think, oh, that guy's a fucking dork. And you'll be right about that, because that's the information I'm giving you publicly.
Yes. And it is all true. But he, although the most dorkish of the bunch, he did win the match.
Yeah, he won the match because he's the only guy in the match under contract with the company.
With New Japan, right. John Moxley came in from AEW because they have a partnership. And Will Ospreay is actually going to AEW. He signed a full-time contract starting with them in, like February. So he's basically on his way out. This wasn't exactly his last match of the promotion, but it was close to it.
Exactly.
His last Wrestle match, Kingdom.
Yes, it was last Wrestle Kingdom as an official New Japan employee. So he might come back for other kingdoms. Obviously, it's possible, given the working relationship between two companies.
Yep.
I'm excited for Ospreay to come to the States. Nervous, because I'm just like, what do you do with the cat?
Yeah. It's interesting, because I don't know what he's going to do in AEW, but I do find it fascinating the fact that Tony Khan, the head of AEW, told him, at least in his contract, he said, no, you don't have to move to the U.S. You can stay in England and just fly out for shows whenever we have shows, which leads me to believe that Ospreay is only going to be working like maximum 2 weeks a month, probably, in the U.S.
Yeah, and maybe he'll do one or two shows in that time frame. Yeah. Maybe a Dynamite, maybe a Collision.
Yeah, right.
Which would be cool. Honestly, put him on Collision and make that show relevant again.
Yeah. It's been doing better lately, I think.
That's what I heard.
It's been a little better. It dipped for a while, but now I think it's picked up again. I think they just kind of leaned into it heavily that Collision is going to be like the wrestler's wrestler show. And yes. Then just like the sick, like New Japan-esque pro wrestling matches on that show.
Yes,
so I think that's Dynamite, what they've been doing it.
While Dynamite is more colorful and personality driven.
Yeah, it's more like a WWE with, you know, all the without the incredible production value, you know.
Exactly, and you know, more geared towards males 18 to 49,
right,
instead of families,
right,
where exactly. WWE is more for the entire family.
Yeah, it's for the whole family.
So it's, you know, it's, I love AEW to death. I'm just worried about their future.
Yeah, same.
I'm also worried about New Japan's future, because, and next we can see, speaking of last matches in New Japan, it's not his exact last match, but the biggest star that they have has publicly, well, no, they just tweeted it. They're like, yeah, Okada's just leaving. He'll be gone after his appearances in February. And everyone's like, what?
Yep. Kazuchika Okada faced Bryan Danielson at Wrestle Kingdom 18, which is a rematch
from their match at Wrestle Dream back a few months earlier.
Yeah, I think that was in November.
And that was in Danielson's hometown, home state of Washington.
Yes.
And there's like, Okada, we're in Japan, close enough, deal with it.
Yeah, right. And so this was a great match, obviously. But I mean, the biggest implication here is that what's going to happen with Kazuchika Okada. But also, since we talked earlier about Tama Tonga leaving, and he's like another, I wouldn't say top star over there, but like a solid single star over there. And Okada leaving, who's their biggest star.
Their biggest single
they
star.
They really have to get that star factory moving over there.
Yeah,
they really got to push Shota Umino to the top, baby.
I love how you said Shota, because I'm thinking the same thing.
He's the number one guy, I feel like. He's going to be
out of the new crop, he's the one who has it the most.
Yeah, I definitely think so.
I'm just, but then again, my biggest question is how long are any of these guys going to stay there? Because I mentioned it in other episodes. The Japanese economy is shit right
now. Yeah, it's not doing
and
too
the
hot.
Yen, bouncing. Remember when we went to Japan, it was roughly, like $1 would get you like 110, 109 yen.
Yeah, just about. Mm-hmm.
So it worked a little bit in your favor. Now it's getting insane where, let's see. Oh my goodness, this is just rough. $1, 148 yen.
Whoa, that's insane.
Yeah, so basically every dollar you spend in Japan, you get $1.50 worth
That's
of value.
Pretty nuts. Yeah.
So imagine that. I mean, let's say for like a North American star, they offered you like, I don't know. I think one of Okada's contracts was like, let's see, it's, man, his stock is tanking quick. Because I remember him signing for like, I forget how many millions of yen, but like, you know. You're losing out a lot of money on this deal.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and I think like that could be a thing that propelled him out, but also a thing about like him wanting to try something else probably. Because he's been like,
something new.
He's been at the top of that promotion for like 12 years. He's
exactly.
been like
Since 2012.
Carrying it, doing a great job doing it. But unlike Atana, who's like a New Japan lifer, he wanted to try out something else while he's still at the prime of his career.
I'm a little worried about these foreign stars because there's a number of foreign guys whose contracts are coming up. And how much money can New Japan have? It's like, well, this is our currency and this is how much it's still worth to us here.
Yeah. I mean, which is why it's been such like an interesting thing to see like Will Ospreay and stuff go to AEW and Jay White, because it's like, oh, they can pop over to Japan for a few shows if they wanted to. Like, they would totally have them back, like, at any time. But they're just getting big money from Tony.
they're getting a lot more money to work in the States just because the United States dollar is stronger right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have one Englishman in there, Ospreay, one Kiwi, and Jay White. So it's like, all right, we need to go where, like, they can actually pay us money that will be worth something when we get back.
Yeah.
I feel so bad because the stories of Japanese people now going over to, like, other countries. But when they get there, they're like, oh, I'm broke.
Yep.
Because they convert all their money. They're like, this is it.
I have no money. Shit.
Yeah, I feel so bad. There was a couple of YouTubers I saw. It's like, yeah, it was just so expensive when I went to Europe. I just couldn't eat.
Wow.
Like, oh, God.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well.
But yeah, like, I never thought global economics would play out such a huge role here.
But they have. But either way,
it's like when Jericho left Mexico because the peso crashed.
Yeah, that was the reason, which is incredible.
Yeah, and like the peso like did even way worse than that.
Oh yeah,
like
oh yeah, terrible.
So yeah.
But Okada beat Danielson. Great match. Obviously.
Fun match.
But then we get to our main event, which was alluded to since the beginning of this chat, which is Tetsuya Naito facing Sonata for the world title. And this match has a little bit of a more historical storyline towards it because, you know, as we mentioned before, Sonata left LIJ, Naito's faction. That didn't exactly sit right with Naito.
Nope.
So, you know, and Naito always has had a thing, as we mentioned before, for the Wrestle Kingdom main event about how the first time he was supposed to get it, it was slipped out from under him because he wasn't charismatic enough.
Well, basically, the company realized, like, hey, none of our fans are excited about this main event between Tetsuya Naito and Okada, but everyone's super pumped for the semi-main event for the Intercontinental title.
Right.
Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Shinsuke Nakamura, who later left to become a big enough star in WWE.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So they're like, let's do a fan vote. And then like 70-something percent of fans said, we want Hiroshi and Shinsuke on last.
Yep.
It's like, oh.
Yeah, it was rough.
So those guys got the main event in one way, but then completely had to give it up. That's just fucking rough. Yeah,
it was pretty rough. And, you know, they had a lot of good background for this story, too, about, like, them training together, but, like, Naito getting chosen for to be a young lion and Sonata was not or something like that. And
exactly, yeah.
There was, like, a lot of good history here. And, yeah, Naito, he likes baseball.
Naito just really likes baseball and being rebellious?
I guess those are his character traits. Yep.
That's pretty much all of them, but he's, like, one of the most popular stars over there.
And so, this match, it remind me if I'm mistaken, but I only caught the actual first like 10 minutes or so of it. It kind of looked like it was pretty boring.
It never really picked up, no. And also for a Wrestle Kingdom main event, I just did a lot of clicking right here. It's shockingly short.
Yes, 25 minutes.
Which is, I mean, just the last couple ones alone. 17 had two main events because it was a two-night show. Actually, no, let's only count. Never mind. We're only counting the first night here because the second night was a New Japan versus Noah show. So that doesn't count.
Oh, right.
But the year before was Okada and Jay White, 33 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get this was a two-night show. No, same fucking thing. Oh, my God. No, okay, the two-night show, but what two nights actually mattered. Okada versus Shingo, 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Night two, Okada versus Ospreay, 32 minutes. Kota Ibushi versus Naito, 31. The next night, Ibushi versus Jay White for 48 minutes.
Wow.
So yeah, 25 minutes for a Wrestle Kingdom main event is definitely on the short side.
Yeah.
Naito tends to wrestle like in between 30 and 35. So just 25 minutes to me seems noticeably short by comparison.
Yeah.
I don't know if they just didn't have enough in them to do it or if just no one cared enough, honestly.
It just seemed like they weren't really into the match when I was watching it.
No, and it got a little better towards the end because some Japanese wrestlers really like to start off as boring as possible then really kick it up towards the end.
Yep.
So we got some of that towards the end, but there were other matches that the fans were into more. And honestly, this Kingdom lacked some of the wow matches like they had before. The year before was when you had Kenny Omega versus Will Ospreay, and that just fucking blew the roof off everything.
Insane.
Fucking everything. So, it was some struggling. That's all I can say.
Mm-hmm.
Just definitely a little on the struggle side here.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to see what the Wrestle Kingdom 19 card looks like with all the news that we've been talking about, with all the people that have left, and with all the matches that, you know, kind of disappointed, but all the matches that were kind of great, like... I wonder if next year's going to be a little more solid, a little more interesting, or like what kind of people will be in the main event or near the main event.
Well, that's the thing, because unfortunately with this card, I still think there's a ton of great here, and I still consider it a good show, which I think the question we have to ask yourself, was this show good or not?
Yeah.
I think this show was still a good show. It started off way stronger than I thought, but some of the endings felt a little flat to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But overall, I still think it was a very good show. But to your point, I'm more curious more so than anything. And we'll probably cover wrestling a little more here whenever we feel like it, because this is our show and we can do what we want. I'm really excited to see where they go with any of this, because as a fan, I'm just kind of going, huh?
Yeah, right. Like, what are you going to do? What are they going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to take in a high school runaway then just because you didn't, and then fall in love by the end of the series?
And then shave? Oh God. But yeah, I mean,
oh Jesus.
That was our chat about Wrestle Kingdom 18. Great show. We had a fun time watching it. Yeah, it's just more of like an interesting thing to see like what's next year going to look like with all these changes and whatnot.
Yeah, this is the most curious I've been for New Japan in a while. So yeah.
And the G1, which we'll probably cover on this podcast at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely covering the G1.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, that's it, I guess.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to us ramble about wrestling for a half hour plus. If you liked it or hated it, let us know. And we may think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about it. It's bad. That's right, everybody. The fun is over today. Thanks so much for clicking on the episode. But the fun does not have to stop here. You can hit us up anywhere that you can find us on Instagram or TikTok at Bad Anime Pod. Or you can even email us to get in touch with us directly at badanimepod@gmail.com. If you got any opinions or you just want to send some hate mail or love mail, we'll take both. We don't care. Thanks so much for listening, everybody, and have a great day.
Simple Equations Podcast Network.